Today is Monday, May 14th, 2018, and we are here at Raven Landing in the Founders Room. And I'm with Bob and Sally Stewarts, and we are delighted to have you with us today, and we thank you very much for coming and for being part of the Raven Landing Residence Stories Project. We'll start out with a little biographical information, and we're going to start our interviews with Sally. Okay, Sally, can you tell us where and when you were born?
Well, I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan in 1938, but I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
In Grand Rapids. Okay, so tell us about your childhood there.
Oh, that wasn't on here. Well, I had a very good childhood because I had loving parents and grandparents, and we were a typical middle-class family. My dad was a pharmacist, and my mom worked outside the home after I was in elementary school, but before that, she worked at home doing things that she could do back then in those years, like stuffing envelopes and typing papers for other people. And so we were, like I said, middle class. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we were happy and we ate good. And mom was a good cook. So was my grandmother. And I had two sets of grandparents, but my sister was closer to my mom's side of the family, and I was closer to my dad's side of the family. It just happened to be that way.
Oh, did you have other siblings or just one sister?
I had a sister, and she was 8 years older. And that's kind of why she was closer to the other grandparents, because, well, we were half-sisters. And so it was later on in life, then at 8 years later, that she got to know my other grandparents. And, of course, she'd already established that other relationship.
Yeah. So are there any stories about your parents or your grandparents or any ancestors that you would like?
Well, I think I more or less just said it. My dad was a pharmacist, and his dad was 50 years old when my dad was born. Mm. So his life was work. He worked in the pharmacy as a teenager, and then later on, you know, after he went to college, he went back and worked with his dad in the pharmacy. So he didn't have a whole lot of time for activities outside of work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us about your schooling.
Well,
when you were growing up.
Actually, it was nice because I only went to three under secondary schools. And I went with kids through kindergarten all the way through high school. And so a Dickinson Elementary School, and then we went to Burton Junior High School, and then we went to South High School. And so it was nice to have that continuity with your friends. Of course, you met new friends after you went into junior high and high school, because they came from all over, you know, mm-hmm. to the school. But I graduated and went on to college at the Michigan Technological University. And when I went, it was called Michigan College of Mining and Technology, or Michigan Tech. And it's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I studied medical technology there, and with an internship at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing, Michigan.
Mm.
And I was in my internship, middle of my internship, when, let me back up a little bit, because in college, Bob and I, my husband and I were married.
And you met him in college?
Yeah. And so when I had to go to my internship in Lansing, he was in Missouri doing other things for the military. And he got orders for Germany, and I was not going to stay behind. So I left my internship and joined him and went to Germany. And I never regretted not finishing. You know, I got a lot of education without actually getting the degree.
So yeah. Okay, and so did you work any at that time? Did you have a job?
Oh, yeah, every summer I worked, and I worked in hospitals, and I worked in their labs, laboratories in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first experience with osteopathic hospitals.
Oh, uh-huh.
And those were the years when osteopathic hospitals were, you know, fighting against the mainstream traditional medicine. But now, of course, osteopaths are well accepted in the medical community.
Right. So that was very good. Mm-hmm. Well, what brought you to Alaska?
Well, my husband. he wanted to come to Alaska for as long as I've known him. He's an outdoor person, and, of course, being in the military, he tried and tried for assignments in Alaska, and he finally got one. So, and we've more or less been here since.
Okay. So, and then did you work when you got up here, or?
No, I was a stay-at-home mother.
You were there.
Yeah. And I stayed at home until the youngest son was a junior in high school.
How many children did you have?
Two children. A boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl. Okay.
And the girl was born in Germany, and the son was born just after we got back from Germany. So,
uh-huh.
And then when my son was in junior high school, I decided I wanted to work because the family that Bob's died early, all the men. And I was afraid that if I didn't have some kind of an income, that, you know, I wanted some way to earn a living if I had to.
Right.
And so I went to the University of Alaska and took a semester of accounting and then got a job bookkeeping. And I did that with Dr. Gold at Kela. Are you familiar with Kela?
No.
Well, it was a human resource agency run by Dr. Gold, who was a psychologist here. And I became the bookkeeper and then a year later became the administrative assistant behind all the financial programs there. And you want me to list some of those programs?
Yeah.
Okay. Kela had grants, and the grants were for the Alaska Center for Responsible Alcohol Control, Alaska Substance Abuse Center, which was the methadone clinic,
mm-hmm.
and we had Vantran. We were the first ones to have the Vantran. And then we had the Alternative Placement Center, which was the halfway house, and that was for the Fairbanks Correctional Center. And then the Fairbanks Monitoring Center was the drug testing center, and mainly for what was for the community and jobs around here where the employees needed to drug test, but also for the inmates at FCC, or the Fairbanks Correctional Center. And then later, in conjunction with the resource agency, the Fairbanks Research Agency, Kela dealt with the clients needing help mentally, who are mentally challenged or disabled in some way, but still able to live on their own with supervision. And so we supervised their living. We checked on them all the time and so forth. And finding jobs and housing and things like that, managing their money, because they weren't very good at managing mm-hmm. money. And then I also trained while I was there for drug testing and ran the lab there for a while. And I was there for 15 years.
Mm.
Some of those programs eventually we didn't get the grants for, but in the beginning we had grants for all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the 15 years, it kind of was tapering off.
Mm-hmm.
So
you went back to work and stayed a long time.
Yep, I sure did.
Okay. Is there anything about your career that you would like your descendants to be sure and know about?
Oh, not my career, but because that was bookkeeping. There's not much to tell, you know, and keeping finances and the books and so forth. But we did grow up with traditional values, and we tried to raise our kids with traditional values. And we grew up in the 40s and the 50s, when that was really the way things were.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the war, and the economy was growing, and we just had an idyllic life back then. Mm. For the most part, I know there was families who didn't, but
yeah.
Even the middle class lived a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And we had fresh food and grew our own food. And so I look back on those years and wish we still had those years.
Yeah.
And we raised our children in the 60s and 70s when things started to change, and we still tried to maintain those things that we had grown up with.
Right, right.
It was a battle.
I think it still is.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about some of your fondest memories?
Well, I think it was the 3 years we were in Germany and the birth of our daughter there. And then our lives in Delta Junction. We lived there for 8 years, or 10 years. And we lived in our first house after getting out of the military. And on 40 acres of land, we had a large garden, and our children were growing up, and we were just established and just had a good life.
Good, good. Can you tell us how you came to come to Raven Landing?
Well, I was the one that was interested in this project when I read about it in the newspaper. And, of course, this was 2010. And my husband had had a series of illnesses starting in 2001. And we couldn't do what we used to do. We lived on an acre of forested land, and it was getting to be a chore for me to take care of that land. And Bob had to do the plowing and the shoveling. We had a very steep driveway that we had to keep plowed and shoveled because we couldn't get up to the house otherwise. It was a well-known driveway. And we didn't want to really give up our home at that time in 2010. And we had a dog, a large dog, and he lived six more years, and so after the dog passed away and we were six more years older, and we just decided it was time, because Bob was almost 80, and so that was
time.
Why we took it.
And so how's your experience been here?
Well, we love it. We like our apartment very, very much. We lucked out and got just what we wanted. And so we're very happy here.
Very happy. Good. Okay, and the last and final question for you is, what's your favorite age and why?
Well, 35. And I think it's because what I more or less said before, we had our family established. We lived where we wanted to live. We had our first home, and we were young. We were healthy and still adventurous.
Good. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.